Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We continue our little sidebar examination here into what was going on with Elijah. Remember, this came out of the epistle of James that we were looking at the end of James in the fifth chapter. God says that we're to pray. If someone is sick, let him call upon the elders of the church, and the prayer of faith will heal him. And he speaks of the fact that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, will do much. And he uses Elijah as an example. So we've gone back to 1 Kings 18. And if you haven't, if you're just joining us right now, welcome. But go back and check the previous episodes. You'll sort of get the flow of what's going on. So the Lord has told Elijah to go and present himself before Ahab. Elijah encountered Obadiah. Obadiah was sort of scared to expedite the meeting, but he did. So Ahab went to meet Elijah, and we see in 1 Kings 18, verse 17, this encounter. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is this you, you troubler of Israel?" And he, that's Elijah, said, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed the Baals," the Baals. That is the reason that this drought had come. That's the reason that Elijah went before Ahab and says, "It's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain," because they had forsaken, Ahab and his father's house, had forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and they had followed after the Baals. And God had told him, "If you do this, I'm going to turn the sky to bronze and the earth to iron." Okay, in other words, I'm going to withhold the rain, and he did. It had been 3.5 years now. He's proclaiming to Ahab, "You are the one that's caused this." Then Elijah continues, verse 19. "Now then, send and gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel, together with 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So we see Elijah giving commands to the king. We see Elijah telling the king what to do. Now, Ahab was known as a wimpy king, okay? His wife was Jezebel. If you know anything about Jezebel, she sort of ran the show. She was very, very aggressive, very powerful, even to the point that we can extrapolate some principles right here. It takes an Ahab for there to be a Jezebel, and a Jezebel would bring forth an Ahab. So Ahab was not the strongest king. He was extremely wicked, though. And so what happened? He didn't resist. He did what Elijah said, verse 20. "So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel." So he brought forth the prophets. I don't know what his motivation was. I don't know if it was a final showdown where his prophets and Jezebel's prophets could defeat this one. I mean, the numbers were pretty good. Elijah said 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the Asherah. That's 850 prophets against him, one prophet. So anyway, Ahab does it. Verse 21, "Elijah came near to all the people and said, 'How long will you hesitate between two opinions?'" So he comes before the people, because remember, the people are here too. Elijah had told him to do what? "Gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel." And then Ahab sent out messengers to the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together. And so some of the people, now when he said all, this doesn't mean that every person in Israel came, okay? But it does mean that their representatives were there. And it does mean that the populace as a whole was represented before this. And so he tells them, "How long are you going to hesitate? How long are you going to equivocate? How long are you going to bounce between two opinions?" And you're thinking, well, what two opinions? Well, he tells them, "If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. So he drew the line of demarcation in the sand. He made it very, very obvious why we are here. Why are you hesitating between the two opinions? Is God Lord? Okay, is the Lord God? Or is Baal? Which one? And the people didn't say a word. They're dumbfounded by the boldness of this. Verse 22, "Then Elijah said to the people, 'I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men.'" So it was 450 to 1 with just this one particular god, pagan god. Now, Elijah says, I alone am a prophet of the Lord. And he really felt that way. And he was at that moment. He's going to find later on that the Lord has more people that he's protected, hidden. But at this moment, he's the one that is alone standing before him. Verse 23, Elijah still speaking. Now, let them give us two oxen and let them choose one ox for themselves and cut it up and place it on the wood. But put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other oxen and lay it on the wood, and I will not put a fire under it. Then, verse 24, you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people said, hey, that's a great idea. So Elijah was going to bring forth a real life presentation here. Now, this is the idea of God. This is the Lord moving. This is the Lord doing this in Elijah's heart and bringing this forth. So what's going to happen? They're going to bring forth two oxen. The prophets of Baal will have one of them. They'll sacrifice it. They'll cut it up. They'll put it on the wood, but they're not going to put fire to it. And then Elijah's going to do the same thing. And then they're going to call upon the name of their God. And whoever brings forth fire to consume the offering is the true Lord. Now, I think this actually goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Okay, it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. Remember Cain, that he brought forth a sacrifice, but the Lord did not receive of his sacrifice, didn't receive it, and it displeased Cain, but he did receive the sacrifice of Abel. How did they know that the sacrifice was received? How do they know that it was pleasing in the eyes of God? Well, I think it's because of what we're seeing right here, there's little hints of this. We don't know from what it says in Exodus, but there was something that happened that they knew beyond any shadow of a doubt. And I think that God likely consumed Abel's sacrifice with fire. You see it happening in several other places in Scripture where God does that. There's an offering that's made, and fire from heaven comes down and consumes it. So that's what's going to be going on right here. You saw the response of the people. They said, this is a good idea. This is great. This is wonderful. So we have to stop right here because our time's about up, and I don't want to go any further into the account. We'll see it again next time, okay? But keep this in mind. Even if it's a 1 to 450 ratio or 1 to 450 million, it matters not. If you are the servant of the Most High God, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You may feel like that you're the lone prophet. You may feel like that you are the lone person that knows the truth. And you think, I'm standing in front of everybody right here and everybody's against me. So be it. You are not alone. The bottom line is this. Do you know the truth? Are you known by the truth? Do you live the truth? Do you speak the truth? If you do, then the Lord will use it. And fire from heaven will come. Maybe metaphorical fire. It may be literal fire from heaven. Tell you what, we'll continue this next time. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. Do share with other folks about these times. Go to my website. It's just my name, .tv, and you'll see the daily blog, the daily podcast. I just posted a new Hebrews Bible study that we did last night that you can see that. And there's a place there to where you can help support all these endeavors if the Lord moves upon your heart. I'll see you again next time. Goodbye.